It is now 6:32 and Intergovernmental Committee is now in session. The first order of business is the acceptance of minutes from committee meeting held on March 6th, 2023. Do I hear a motion?
Second.
Hear a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
The first item on the agenda is PCR-35-23, a resolution requesting the General Assembly to amend Rhode Island General Law Section 44-5-67.2 regarding property tax classification for the City of Warwick to reduce the minimum ratio of Class 1 to Class 2 rates. Council President McAllister.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have the tax assessor here and the mayor's department here to speak on behalf of this. Thank you.
Good evening. Neil Dupuy, Director of Assessing. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, members of the council, members of the public. The intent of this legislation is to provide the city with the flexibility to maintain the existing tax levy classes, right? So right now we tax each class based on state enabling legislation, which is one size fits all. It wasn't necessarily designed for a city like Warwick. It was designed by the state so that when communities went for reevaluation, they had some options to classify their tax rates if there was a burden shift. But that one size fits all includes communities like Foster with very little commercial property to speak of and Warwick, which clearly we have a very large commercial base. I need to stress from the beginning that we are not looking to increase the taxes on any commercial property owner. We're not looking to increase the amount of the percentage of the levy that comes from the commercial class, simply to maintain the revenue by each class so that there is no forced burden shift based on the classification that we use. So over the last year, since we delayed the revaluation last time, because of the unstable market, I've been studying the different options, looking at different proposals, other statutory approvals that other communities have. And what we see is that Warwick already had a statute on the books at the state level that was approved several years ago before the state put in the enabling legislation. We had legislation that was more specifically designed towards Warwick. One of the big differences with that is there was no restriction on the tangible personal property tax rate. Now, again, we're not looking to increase the taxes on any class or any specific property owner. But in the last reval, Narragansett Electric, not to pick on them specifically, they just happen to be one of the largest tangible personal property taxpayers, got about a $750,000 reduction in their tax bill that was solely related to the fact that one class of our property rates is tied to another. In other words, our tangible personal property rate can be no more than twice the amount of our residential rate. So just pure mathematics forced us to give some property owners a reduction that they weren't asking for. There were no appeals from National Grid. They weren't asking for a reduction, but based on a structure, we had to give them one. Right? So that's an example of what happens based on the shifts with our current system. Same thing happened on the commercial property end where car dealerships, other commercial entities that are at a very high income earners had a built-in reduction to their tax bill that they weren't asking for, they weren't looking for. One of the most important things I understand, I've been doing this for 35 years, from business owners talking to them in tax appeal matters and just conversations over the years, is that they want stable, predictable tax amounts without the volatility of up and down. Right? So they're looking for stability, not necessarily reductions. But our structure that we currently have forces us into that. And that's not really what we're looking to do. So looking at other communities, some have very little restrictions at all. Okay, in the case of Providence, they can have a tax rate on the commercial side that's more than double the residential rate. We're not looking to go that far. We're not looking to be Providence. But again, it helps us to avoid a shift by having a little more flexibility in our tax structure. This proposal here in front of you tonight doesn't actually do anything with the tax rates. It's just giving the budget board and the committee and the council the option to have a little flexibility when they decide what to do with the shifts and what to do with the rates when we get to that point. So not to go on and on with math and different figures that might gloss over the issue. I'll answer any questions that the committee, the council, or the public has. I think that will flush out most of the issues.
Thank you.
Any questions from the committee? Questions or comments from the council?
Councilman Ricks.
Director, thank you for coming this evening. When was the last time that Warwick had a tax revaluation?
As of December 31st, 2018.
And things have changed quite a lot in the valuation since that time, right?
Absolutely.
Generally speaking, how has the residential been affected compared to the commercial valuations?
Well, one of the reasons why we delayed the reval that was due for last year, 12/31 of 21, was the impact of COVID. Right. So there were two different dynamics that really had an impact on the residential homeowners and the market overall. The first was supply. Right. There was an issue where people didn't feel comfortable going out. They didn't want to make any moves. So fewer properties went on the market. Today, I think we had 65 homes for sale in Warwick. It's normally 250, 300 homes in a stable, typical market. But the other thing was that the demand also rose. Because of the remote workforce and the work at home that most businesses switched to in the pandemic, the demand rose because now all of a sudden it didn't seem so far if you had to commute to Boston maybe only once or twice a month, or some people even going to New York or to Hartford. So the demand increased while the supply was low and the house prices shot way up as a result. We're starting to see some more stability with the Fed raising the interest rates the way they have. That's definitely having an impact. Unfortunately, I think one of the next results might be foreclosures, because in a lot of cases, people can't qualify for the same home that they bought just based on the interest rates.
And perhaps aside from the run-up to the last peak around 2006, 2007, aside from that, in living memory, it's the last 3-4 years on residential home valuations, it's pretty much unprecedented, aside from that one example, right?
Yeah, the 2008 market was the last time we had a crash. And the parallel at that point was the gas prices. So we had gas prices right around $4 per gallon, and we went over that. We've now thankfully come back down a little bit, but with the volatility that's going on in the world, I don't have a crystal ball. But I think that's definitely a factor that has to be watched closely.
And so we're seeing a lot of home prices, residential home prices. Certainly, it's going to differ from one price range to another. But oftentimes, we're seeing home prices in just these last 4 years raising by, say, 30, 40% or more.
Absolutely. Although I want to stress that a percentage of change isn't something we look at either from an assessment or an appraisal standpoint. It's not.
Of course, the last assessment around has no bearing on the current assessment, but there is that massive swing that's that would, in terms of reval, cause a lot of instability on the residential side. And then it's my understanding that because the commercial rates are based on the residential rates, but the commercial market has been quite different from the residential market the last 4 years, right?
Correct. You know, there's definitely been some increases, but it's more property specific, property use specific, I should say. But again, a lot of it was related to the pandemic and not necessarily sustainable. So again, with that same remote workforce, there's going to be an issue down the road with leases on commercial office buildings when those come up for renewal, possibly not needing as much space. But the companies are trying to bring the workforce back, and who knows what the future brings. Other uses such as self-storage benefited because if people you know, couldn't afford to buy a home, they had to store their goods somewhere. So those types of uses went up as well. So it's not a flat across the board. It's more of an up and down.
And the valuations that are done as part of the reval, it's not looking at, it is looking at assessing those particular properties based on their current assessments. But when we're setting the tax rate, that's not something where we're picking and choosing the tax rate that's applied to any individual property. If it's a commercial property, it gets the commercial rate. If it's a residential property, it's the residential rate. And this resolution would do nothing to change that.
Correct. It's by class. It's not for a specific property. Everybody in that class will get that same rate.
Yeah. And so the purpose of all of this is to give the city some flexibility so that as we're seeing both locally as well as part of these larger national trends, this massive instability, matter of giving us some tools to try to smooth things out so that one class, the entire commercial class, doesn't tend to see a massive tax cut, while although they still may. Some may still see a tax cut, but because the tax revaluation is revenue neutral to the city, there would be a certain amount of instability and issues caused if that massive tax cut on a commercial side ends up having that effect of a massive tax hike on the residential side, if that would be fair to say.
Yeah, there's always shifts with the revaluations, and that's one of the reasons why when the state changed from a 10-year reval cycle to a 3-year reval cycle in the late 90s, that we started to see more and more tax classification systems put into play, because it just naturally forces a shift. The tangible personal property is based on the cost of the item, not the market value. So when you combine that non-market system with a reval, which is based on market, it's just not a good recipe.
Thank you. And thank you for taking the time to really look into this, do your homework, looking at the comparison with the powers that, say, Massachusetts cities and towns have for those comparable examples, and trying to find a solution that gives us some tools to strike a balance in these, I think it's fair to say, very turbulent times when it comes to the real estate market, both commercial and residential. Thank you.
And that's exactly what it is balance, right? Because there's going to be ups and downs every reval. There's going to be winners and losers every reval. But by class of property, we want to try to mitigate that shift, to equalize those revenues. Like you mentioned with Massachusetts, every community in Massachusetts has the capability of going up 1.75 times on their commercial rate versus their residential rate. If we look at Massachusetts as a model, they're certainly not suffering economically. You know, they're the model that we try to achieve. So it's not trying to get every tax dollar. It's trying to get that balance. And we look at both, you know, the neighbor to the north and also, you know, our local competitors with Cranston and West Warwick. We are sitting right where we want to be. We're competitive. We're not giving away the store, and we're not the highest tax rate. So.
Questions or comments from the council? Councilman Lattice.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Through the chair to the council president. Mr. President, you may or may not be aware of the fact that I had submitted a series of questions, 14 questions to be exact, to the administration for answers. And they were very forthcoming with those answers. They provided me with those answers actually the next day. I had also requested through the council solicitor to disseminate those questions and answers to my colleagues on the city council so that those answers would be, the questions would be known and the answers would be known prior to having this hearing. The city council solicitor advised me not to do that because of the Open Meetings Act. which is fine, and I respect that. His job is to protect us as best he can from making errors. Having said that, I would like to have your permission, seeing as none of my colleagues know the questions nor the answers I receive, nor probably the majority of the public know what these are. I would like your permission to read these into the record, the questions and the answers, and not impair upon my 10 minutes to speak towards this item. Keeping in mind, this is really the only significant thing we have on the calendar this evening. The rest of it is going to go pretty good. I would request your permission to do that.
Councilman, this is in intergovernmental committee, so it should go through the chair. The chair can make that decision on that. For my 2 cents, first of all, thank you for asking those questions in advance. I think it gave the administration an opportunity to review it. I saw that you posted it publicly on your social media as well, which I think is important. The only concern I have is, we do have, council rules, on the time, and I don't know if this is just a way to double dip on the time. So, but.
No, excuse me, Mr. President. I'm not looking to double dip. I'm requesting permission to share the information that I requested from the administration. They very quickly replied and responded to that information. I'm requesting permission to disseminate that information to the members of the City Council so that you all can be privy to the answers that I received to those questions. I'm not looking to double dip. I'm looking to still have my 10 minutes, absolutely, for my comments. I'm simply looking to enter into the record the questions that I asked from the administration, they graciously responded to, and that my colleagues on the City Council are not aware of.
No, I understand your position, but you're asking and answering questions, and then you want additional time to ask more questions? I feel that's just trying to get around.
No, Mr. President, no. Don't twist what I'm saying. I am requesting permission to disseminate the questions I asked to the administration. I'm not asking new questions. I'm simply reading into the record for the benefit of my colleagues on the City Council so you can be well informed or as best informed as I can help you to be with the questions I asked. I'm not asking the administration to respond again. I'm asking to read the questions into the record. I'm asking to read the answers I got to those questions into the record. And with all due respect, in the time that we just went back and forth on this, I could have had this all done and read.
Councilman Walsh.
Councilman, we can certainly accept the document and insert it into the record, make it available for anyone who wants to inspect it. I would respectfully suggest that, given you have the time and opportunity with the, I believe, the director who answered these questions, that maybe if trying to work through them quickly, as expeditiously as possible in summary, that might be a better use of the time at the moment. But we can certainly include that item, the document, as part of the record.
Including the document as part of the record does not speak to what the document contains. It doesn't educate the members of the public to what the document contains. Whether anyone agrees with the answers or not, whether I agree with the answers or not, is not what we're discussing right now. What we're discussing is to provide as much information as we can to the elected body that's sitting here this evening that is going to be potentially voting on this matter. Now, are you suggesting that we just take a copy? Are you suggesting perhaps we take a 15-minute recess, make copies of all of this, disseminate it to everyone on the council, let them read it first, and then we can come back to it again?
Respectfully, Councilman, I actually concurred with your prior comment that we should get right into the merits of what you're discussing and use the time appropriately.
So then you are agreeing that I should be able to read these questions and answers into the record?
You have the floor at the moment.
I'm sorry?
You have the floor.
Okay. Not impairing on my 10 minutes after. Oh, so there you go. So you're gonna say it's either one or the other. I can either share this information with the members of the elected body or I get to use my 10 minutes.
Counsel, I believe the chair has acknowledged you. If you would like to ask any questions, now is your time.
Through the chair. I didn't mean any disrespect, Mr. Chair. I just assumed that it would be deferred to the council president. I didn't mean any disrespect. So I'll leave it in your lap.
Okay. Councilman, what is your pleasure?
I would like to read the questions I asked and the answers that I received from the administration into the record so all of my colleagues and a member of the public will be privy to what that is. Then my 10 minutes start from that point.
Okay, now you stated that you would have been all done talking about this before. So how long will it take you to read these comments?
These right here? I would say it's going to be less than 10 minutes.
The questions and answers.
The question and answers. I would say it's going to be less than 10 minutes. You can time me if you'd like. But I think this is very, Mr. Chairman, I think this is very important because these answers were provided in good faith from the administration. Again, I'm not stating whether I agree with those answers or disagree. I just think it's important that everyone is aware of it. Yes.
Read the report.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Appreciate it. Question number one, please provide a narrative from the administration of why this legislation is being proposed. Answer, this legislation will allow the city to maintain existing tax levy amounts currently being generated from each class of property, parenthesis, residential, commercial, tangible, personal property. The state enabling statute that we currently utilize is a one-size-fits-all approach that could result in tax burden shifts between the different classes of property. The existing statute that we are using lump sums rural towns like Foster with very little commercial property into the same system as the city of Warwick and our large commercial tax base. In a small community, there is very little burden shift because the majority of the properties are in the same class. More urban municipalities will see significant shifts in the tax burden between the classes of property and should have a different mechanism to deal with these burden shifts that occur each revaluation. After delaying the revaluation last year, we took the opportunity to review and develop a tax classification system that was designed specifically for the city of Warwick. The end result was to go back to a Warwick statute that was already on the books, but to modernize the percentages. The statute was submitted to the General Assembly by a former Warwick City Council that saw the need for Warwick-specific tax classification plan. Question two, please provide a narrative from the administration of the consequences of this legislation if it is not being passed by the City Council. Answer, we will cross the bridge if and when that time occurs. We would like your support in approving this resolution. We would support your approving this resolution, which could avoid unnecessarily shifting the tax burden onto your constituents if passed. Please provide any analysis the administration has performed showing the benefits of this legislation. Please answer. Please refer the other responses herein. Question four, please provide any analysis the administration has performed showing the impact on existing small business owners in Warwick. Answer. Because we are not looking to increase the tax levy for any class of property, there will be little to no impact on the small business community. Some small business owners are actually still likely to see a reduction in their tax bills with this tax classification system. Five, please provide an analysis the administration has performed showing the impact of new small business development in the city. Warwick is and will continue to be an attractive place to do business, both large and small, due to our excellent highway location, the airport, train station, and other factors. We only need to look at the north at the state of Massachusetts to see that there will be no reduction in commercial development as a result of the change. All of the 351 communities in Massachusetts have the ability to set their commercial tax rate at 1.75% times the residential tax rate. Most of the larger cities and several smaller ones are using that rate differential and have been for decades. Massachusetts continues to have a robust and commercial industrial base with its same tax rate policy. Mathematically, our class one rate being no less than 57% of our class two rate is the same as saying the class two rate can be up to 1.75 times the class one rate. Question six, has administration studied similar proposals made in other communities and the impact the legislation has had in small businesses? If not, why not? Yes, there are many communities. Answer, yes, there are many communities that have enacted tax classification systems that are specifically designed for their unique location and tax base. One such example is Providence, which has very little restriction on how the tax rate is set for each class. However, just like the smaller town example above, not all large cities have the same issues to consider. Providence has many more non-owner-occupied properties and a much higher existing commercial tax rate. These factors necessitate a plan specific to their land uses and tax policy goals. The higher commercial tax rate in Providence versus Warwick is another example of this proposal will not be unduly burdened on our commercial tax base. Seven, has the administration reached out to the Chamber of Commerce, Rhode Island Builders Association, and other business associations seeking their opinion on this legislation? If not, why not? Answer, we are well aware of the impact of tax policy on the growth of a community and have fully factored that into our analysis. But again, we are not seeking to increase the commercial tax levy simply to maintain the existing revenue from each class. Eight, has the Warwick Economic Development Department prepared an opinion on the merits of this legislation? If not, why not? Bruce Kaiser, Director of Economic Development, has been involved in the process of making this decision. You can reach out to him directly for any additional comments that he may have. Nine, please provide the total number of commercial businesses in Warwick. There are roughly 3,500 taxable businesses and approximately 3,100 Class II real estate parcels. Question 10. Please provide the number of new commercial properties opened and closed in Warwick in the last 12 months. We do not currently have that information. The bulk of the calendar year 2022 business forms just came in the last few weeks. They weren't due until March 15th. So we are in the process of going through approximately 3,500 accounts, but we have identified approximately 200 potential new business accounts from our fields sites visited, conducted at the end of the year. 11, please provide the total number of commercial properties exempt from property taxes. There are approximately 2,300 tax-exempt real estate parcels. However, not all would be considered commercial in nature. 12, please provide the total number of commercial properties assessed. A, under 1 million, approximately 2,600. B, 1 million or less than 5 million, approximately 350. 5 million and less than 10 million, approximately 75. 10 million and over, approximately 35. Question 13. Please provide an analysis of what the change in the current $18.73 residential, $28.10 commercial, and $37.46 tangible rate will be if this legislation is enacted. Answer, too time to tell. That information will be estimated and submitted to the council during the upcoming budget hearing. Last question, 14. Please provide a breakdown of the actual tax dollars that would be realized if this legislation were enacted based on the current fiscal 2023 taxes. For example, the residential tax dollars is set at $138,120,375. Provide the change in those dollars in the new tax total that would be set. The answer is, again, too soon for that type of data, but no increase in commercial levy is being suggested. Approving this proposal will only allow the city options in setting the tax rates. By itself, it doesn't change anything. However, if enacted, first, the city will not have the opportunity to address, if not enacted, the city will not have the opportunity to address any burden shifts when the final data is available. No changes have been proposed to the way the city passes our annual budget or sets the tax rates. These issues would be more appropriate when we get to budget hearings. The proposal just gives the city more options. It doesn't set the tax rates in any way. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate your due diligence in allowing me to read those questions and answers into the record. Now, if I may continue.
Councilman, you have 2 minutes.
We're going to pause right now to start the regular council meeting.
Thank you.
So at this time, the City Council is going to pause the Intergovernmental Committee. We will start the full city council meeting. We will do a few items, and then we will come right back into the intergovernmental committee. Thank you. At this time, we're on general communications. This is the announcement of congratulations, condolences, or community events. I have one. The Easter Hunt the city of Warwick is hosting is this Saturday. It's at City Park. It's partnering with the Tri-City Elks. Registration starts at 11:30, and the hunt starts at 12:30. So make sure you're there by 12:30. Are there any other general communications from members of the council at this time? Councilman Howe. Councilman Ricks.
Go ahead.
Thank you. A brief announcement that the Tax Relief Commission is going to intend to hold a meeting this month ahead of the budget hearings and adoption of the budget. And I do intend to docket a resolution at the council this evening so that the recommendations of the Tax Relief Commission may be heard prior to the budget hearings. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other members? Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. I stand to request a moment of silence due to, on the evening of Wednesday, March 29th, two Black Hawk helicopters collided during a training mission, killing 9 members of our United States military of the 101st Airborne Division. They train to real-world situations. The training is hard, fast-paced, and dangerous. Mr. President, to the fellow citizens of Warwick, I respectfully request a moment of silence for the 9 members of the 101st Airborne Division.
Thank you, Councilman. We will have a moment of silence at this time. Thank you. Anything else under general communications for members of the council? Okay, we'll move on to executive communications. There are none. A is the acceptance of the minutes for the council meeting held on March 20th. Councilman Howe?
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Gephardt. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Abstain.
2 abstain, Councilman Sinapi and Councilman Ricks. Okay. At this time, I ask that we pause the city council meeting and return to the intergovernmental committee. Thank you.
It is now 7:17, and the Intergovernmental Committee is back in session. Councilman Lattiser, at this time, you will have your full 10 minutes. I would just ask if you could try to not be redundant and ask questions that you already asked and gave the answers to from the administration.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
First, I apologize, Councilman Lattiser, to the solicitor as a point of clarification. Don't we need to do the vote in order to allow it?
If you want to entertain a motion to exempt the time that was reading it into the record, you can make that motion and be seconded and voted upon, and that would get it around the rules.
Okay. All right, I'm going to make a motion that we take the testimony that Councilman Lattiser gave, and he will also get his full 10 minutes for questioning. I make that motion.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Although, in all fairness, normally it would be a nay, but it was
stated to him that he'd have his time, so he should have it. In the future, that information should have simply been distributed. Because, frankly, that's what we've done before. I'm not sure why it worked differently this time. But we're here now. So.
Thank you, Chairman.
Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Councilman Sinapi. So, for the most part, I don't have any additional questions. I have a series of comments. I would first like to start off by thanking Director Dupuis for his time and effort in working on this. One of the concerns I have, and you've heard me say this on many occasions, is not always particularly with the people who are sitting in government today, whether it be the council, Mr. Dupuis, the administration, the mayor. I'm always concerned about the next group of people sitting in our seats or their seats who are making these changes. I'm very concerned with the flexibility that this allows. I'm not directing these comments particularly to this administration, but I am concerned about the flexibility it will allow for other administrations. We spoke about Providence. Well, I'm glad to hear you're not looking to do what Providence did, because look where all this crazy tax stuff got them. Question I have for Director Dupuis. So we do two reevaluations, right? One is like, I'm going to, for proper, improper term perhaps, one's a structural, which is every 10 years, and one is a statistical, which is every 3 years.
Yeah, state law requires we do a statistical update every 3 years and a full reevaluation every 9 years. Okay. But they're essentially the same thing. It's just we're not independently verifying the property characteristics during a statistical.
And the reevaluation that we postponed last year, was that the 10-year one or the 3-year one?
That was the 3-year one.
The 3-year one. When are we due for the 10-year one?
December 31st of 2024.
2024. So, hypothetically, if the administration were to look to hold this reevaluation that is scheduled to take place this year, does that mean in 2024 we're going to have the 10-year and the 3-year in a double whammy all at one time?
No. So the reevaluation that's going to go into effect for this next budget year, for this tax year that we're in, 2023, will be a 2-year period rather than the typical 3-year period. We'll actually need to start the full reevaluation early, because it's a little bit longer than a full year project. So we're technically in reeval mode, but the numbers don't piggyback one off another. Each project is independent. And so we'll throw everything out that we had in our model from this reeval that we're working on currently. And we'll analyze the 2024 market and build the models for that.
Okay, so I'm going to deviate from my norm. Normally, I just speak straight on, but I have made some notes because this is a particularly concerning issue. So, as I said, I'm very, very skeptical of this legislation. Business already pays a much higher rate for taxes. Not just for taxes, but businesses pay in the city of Warwick, a higher rate for water, a higher rate for sewer. And now we're looking to shift more of the tax burden onto businesses, commercial, industrial. I'm very skeptical because, as I said just a moment ago, we don't know right now. We don't know when we're doing this reval. We have no idea what the reval is going to look like, and we have no idea how this is going to change the tax structure. And some of the answers I got in my questions supported that. If the city doesn't do the reval, I'll scratch that. You've already answered that question. I'm always concerned, and I don't particularly like uncertainties. And I get concerned when I don't have hard facts and figures that I can look at and I can focus on and I can digest. I get very concerned with that. You hear me meeting after meeting after meeting, challenging math problems, challenging numbers, challenging lack of numbers, et cetera. That gets me really concerned. I'm concerned with the uncertainty for the businesses and the residential taxpayers not knowing what they'll face in the in future tax formulas. Businesses don't get services like trash removal, yard waste removal, recycling. Businesses don't send children to schools. I think this is a formula that is on the verge or potentially facing financial failure, because the formulas that we could conceivably be looking at could certainly put a very negative impact on the businesses in this community. What you got to do is look around the city. We have empty office spaces all over the place. We have empty stores. We have restaurants that are still struggling to recover from COVID. They got beat, and they got beat bad during COVID. And so did many other businesses. So did many other services. We have empty spaces and stores all over. And now we're looking to shift the tax burden and make it higher. This doesn't work for me.
Well, if I can address that, again, we're not looking to shift more taxes onto the commercial property owner. So the amount of the tax levy that comes in currently, if maintained, will not cause anybody's tax to go up that was directly related to this ordinance.
But, Director, if you change, shift the burden, you take an extra 18% off residential and you move it on to commercial or industrial, at some point in time, it's going to have an impact, a financial impact. At some point in time, it's going to come home.
I would agree.
It may not come home the first time, but when the revals change and when these evaluations start to increase and you're adding an extra 18% onto the tax rates already, that's going to have a very negative impact.
Well, I'm not sure where the 18% comes from. We're not looking
from 75 to 57.
Well, that's a no less than rate, but
right,
again,
no less.
Not to get into the mechanics of that. I think Warwick's unique because of the highway access, the airport, the train station, the quality of life. Many of the business owners that we're talking about also live in Warwick, and that's a dynamic that's different from most communities. So there's two sides of that story.
Many of them don't. Many of the business owners don't. As a matter of fact, many of the people that work in the city don't live in the city. So let's kind of keep everything fair. So here's where I am with this. We just went through this in another venue about how we're going to, you know, benefit the taxpayers. And we're going to do this because it's going to save the taxpayers all kinds of money. If we are all so dedicated to keeping the money in the taxpayers' pocket, if we are so dedicated on controlling taxes and, better yet, reducing taxes, here's what my position is. Stop the spending. The spending is the problem. We as elected officials, we need to have the courage to increase co-pays on healthcare. We need to raise the cap on prescription drugs. I appreciate your participation, but if you could let me get through this, I don't want to get cracked off in my 10 minutes. We need to raise the cap on prescription drugs, eliminate free lifetime health care, and impose a reasonable copay on retirees. If we're serious about taxes,
this is off track, Councilman.
This is on the
Councilman,
subject
this
of taxes.
Is not being debated this evening. Thank you.
You can put all the band-aids you want
minute.
On all of these issues. Unless you're willing to tackle the tough fight and make those tough decisions and stop the bleeding, you can have whatever you want in terms of ability to shift taxes from one place to another place. It's not going to change because typically If government lowers the tax, what you do is you spread out the base. You're not changing. It's not going to change. The only way to change it is stop the spending. That's going to change it. I am very reluctant on this. I'm very concerned with not, again, with what this current administration may or may not do, or what the city council may or may not do. I'm really concerned if this passes, what it's going to give in power to future council people and future administrations who I have no idea who could be sitting here. But it gives them, as we heard, exceptional amount of flexibility. That's my concern. Thank you.
Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Chairman. Mr. Dupuy, I understand the councilman had a couple questions, some statements. You were answering some, and then I understand the councilman was trying to remain within his time. Was there anything that you wanted to follow up with some of the statements or the questions that were made that you weren't able to finish?
Well, like we referenced earlier, balance is the key, right? So we're not looking to get too many tax dollars, but we're looking to get what is due. I have to say there's a difference of opinion whether, you know, businesses send people to school, right? Because they need a qualified workforce, right? Which is based on our educational system. So it's a symbiotic relationship and both sides benefit from that. Businesses also cost more for us to assess. There's a lot of work that goes into the assessment of commercial businesses and intangible personal property. Much more difficult. We've got much less data than we do on residential property. So there's a cost on the other side too. But again, we're looking to be competitive within the region. We feel that we are, even with the changes that we're looking to make. I can't see anybody locating, if they were going to choose Warwick versus another community, going elsewhere. Warwick's got everything they need. And when we look at Massachusetts as a guide, the 1.75 times hasn't diminished their market, their economy. And I think it's just the right balance for Warwick. It's not the same thing for some of the other communities.
The second follow-up I have is a statement you made at your opening statement, which was where you used National Grid as an example, or Rhode Island Energy now as an example. Could we also use box stores? And could you please define what example you gave as far as what their reduction in taxes were and why that became about? And how are they comparable to a small business that I may go to eat breakfast in, or I may go and buy paint? And could you please compare that?
Sure. So a lot of the big boxes are national chains, right? They're working on a whole different scale than what we are here. Their tax burden, again, is something, again, based on my experience working with these types of owners over the decades that I've been doing this stuff, is their concern is in stability and known tax amounts, not reductions. They've already built that current tax bill into their equation and their profitability. So if we were to take that away, they'd be happy to get the reduction, but I'm not sure they're looking for it in a lot of cases. We've reduced the appeals greatly from where they used to be, as we can see in the abatements. Now, some of that will come back because it's a reval year. So a whole bunch of new eyes are going to be looking at these things and they'll file the appeals. But it's just a different economy than the small business, which has different market influences and different dynamic. But those are more based on local transactions, local sales, local rentals, whereas the big box stores are more based on regional income and expense profitability.
So they would probably be happy if we didn't address any of this, because their return would be
greater,
much greater. Then, okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Councilman Gebhardt.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Director, for going through some of these. And thank you, Councilman Lattiser, for reading the questions and answers. So I just wanted to drill in a little bit more. One of the questions I didn't see asked is, so the proposal is to, move the ratio from 57 to 75%. How did you come up with the 75 as the threshold?
Well, again, mainly using Massachusetts as our guide. I've done real estate appraisals and revaluations in Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and Connecticut over my career. Massachusetts has one statewide policy. All the different municipalities have to follow what the Department of Revenue over there mandates. So it's just a more structured system. And when I look at the economy in Massachusetts, it's certainly not suffering from the policy that they have. The communities that are similarly set up with a good highway system, have a robust economy, which, you know, we hope to maintain in Warwick. But it's also looking at making sure we don't cross that threshold. So when I look at the regional tax rates of other communities, we're well positioned, if not lower, even with this change, than most of our competitive municipalities in Rhode Island for any new growth that might come up.
Thank you for that. And when we initiated the reval last year and then didn't move forward, you know, do you have some data that you've reviewed that leads you to feel strongly that you'll need this on a go-forward basis as a tool in your toolkit? Or
yeah, we don't have firm numbers yet because the decision was recently made to move forward and do the reval rather than seek an additional delay. But we're working on that. We're going to have those numbers shortly. They'll be well ahead of the budget hearings, and everybody will have a known at that point. But the residential market is red hot. There's still a very limited supply, and there's still a very strong demand. So the commercial market always tends to be more stable, even in non-COVID times. It's just been slow and steady growth versus the volatility that we see in the residential market. So again, it's just setting the table so that when the numbers are ready, because it's the legislative session at the state level, we can't wait. We have to make a decision on this. But I want to put that tool in the box so when the budget is being heard, that's an option.
Okay. I mean, I share Councilman Lattiser's sensitivity around small businesses and you know, the threat of higher taxes. We know that Rhode Island continually has one of the largest tax burdens on small businesses, so we certainly don't want to fall into any trap that would exacerbate that. You've said several times that this is more about maintaining what we have now despite shifting pools of value among the classes, rather than any intent to raise any rates. So I just have a question about the timing. So you said it's important to get this out while the legislature is in session. Anything else involved in the timing of when you're requesting this? Any other factors?
Well, like I said, we're going to try to get the revaluation notices out the very beginning of May. And that will have a process where property owners that feel like their property is overassessed can come forward and have meetings and discussions. We're going to try to modernize that practice to expedite it and do things through email and over phone versus in person. In person will still be an option, but we want to try to move things forward for the people that are ready to go. Other than that, we do have a meeting with the Department of Municipal Finance to discuss. There's a one-year option where, because this won't be approved by the time that the notice has to go in the paper about the tax rate change, we have to get them to be aware of that and word the notice appropriately.
Okay. Just another thing, like we obviously had a strong turnout from the business community tonight. Anytime there's something like this on the docket, it's going to get attention. Was there any thought put into maybe a pre-communication to assuage any fears or mitigate that, or did you not find that appropriate?
Well, again, this is more of a table-setting matter. There's a set time. We couldn't submit bills too much sooner, and yet we've got a short window to submit the legislation, which we're trying to do based on the resolution here tonight. But this is just the beginning of the process. Like I said, there'll be conversations with the revaluation once those notices go out and then through the budget process. So it's all going to come together. But that's where those conversations are more aptly had, because at that point we can talk about the actual impacts, because there'll be knowns at that point that are just suppositions at this point.
Okay. And then any attempt to use this, what I guess is technically like enabling legislation, obviously would come back for approval before this council in the setting of the tax rate vis-a-vis the budget process, et cetera. So to your point, this is, you know, preliminary, but becomes a tool. But of course, we'll be back if it comes out of the toolbox.
Yeah, we'll come forward with our recommendations, assuming this goes forward, passes here tonight, and then at General Assembly level. But ultimately, the same honorable body would be the ones making that decision whether to implement the tool with you.
Thank you, Director.
You're welcome.